Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. You may be seated.
Indeed. May God add his rich blessing to that fine reading from the excellent ESV. I'm excited about this little meditation tonight. It's a great text for Christmas Eve time together. So let's go to him in prayer again. Father, we thank you for texts like this, Matthew 2, Luke 2, other places, John 1, Galatians 4, Isaiah 9, Micah 5, Isaiah 7, Genesis, Father, the early chapters, all speaking of the coming of the Son of God into the world, and we're grateful for the reality that we look back on 2,000 years later, the profound and wonderful way that you kept your promise that you made in your holy book. Now bless us tonight, Lord. May we be attentive and learn and grow and really hear that gospel message that the angel spoke on Bethlehem's plain. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The question of the Gentile Magi or wise men, which was read by Elder Craig a few moments ago, where is he who has been born King of the Jews, is one of the most important and profound queries ever offered by any human beings anywhere at any time in the history of the world. The answer to that question will consume our attention for a little while tonight and our efforts this evening from the Word of God. Everybody needs to know where the only one who can save them, help them, redeem them, forgive them, atone for them, justify them, and bless them can be found. As we might expect, sinful man has endeavored to find Christ in all the wrong places. False religions, false philosophies, self-help techniques, works religion, works righteousness, law religion, law righteousness. All of these methods have proven over and over to be miserable in their failure, leading their adherents down dead-end roads. But Christ can be found, but he must be located on God's terms, not ours. Our goal this evening is to understand God's means of revealing his Son to us. Let's look together now at Matthew 2, 1 through 6 for a few moments. The title of the sermon is Locating the Baby King, verses 1 and 2. We find the baby king by faith. Oh, incidentally, I know some of you aren't used to this. We have a little outline on the back of your little half sheet there. If you want to use it, that's fine. So the first word there would be faith. If you don't want to, that's fine too. Faith is the indispensable ingredient in locating the Christ child. The wise men, the magi, came from foreign lands where prime examples of those who possessed, by God's grace, the gift of faith. They would never have embarked on their costly and dangerous and risky journey if it had not been for the faith they expressed in the word and promise of God. We find the baby king by faith, verses 1 and 2a, recognizing his authority. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Well, let us ask ourselves this question. Why did the wise men, the Magi, come to Jerusalem and later to Bethlehem? The answer is to be found in the fact that they believed a king had been born. And this was not just any king with provincial government. This was the king whose rule would extend to these very men and to their lands as well, plus everything else for that matter. Let's dig out a few gems from verses 1 and 2a this evening. First, the Gentile wise men, not those whom we might expect, are the ones who seek the Christ child. That's sort of a portent of how the gospel would go to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And as Paul says in Romans 9, 10, 11, elsewhere, that the Gentiles become the main beneficiaries of the gospel grace. And these were Gentile men, not ones we would expect. Secondly, the Magi come not to their own cultural centers, not to their own idol temples of their own lands, not to their own libraries and museums and other places of interest, but they go out of their realm to God's territory, to the Old Covenant Church, the place there of Jerusalem. They come to Jerusalem, even though the nations from whence they came had long been at war and enmity with Israel. Lastly, recognize the urgency and importance of locating this great king. They say, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" They knew it had happened. It's compelling for us to realize that the title, the King of the Jews, would be placed above the Messiah's head on his cross in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. As we can read about that in Matthew 27:37. We find the baby king by faith, recognizing his authority, now verse 2b, recognizing his divinity. Divinity is deity or Godhead, if you will. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now human kings are not to be worshipped typically. A human king, however, who is also God, in other words, both God and man, as we read in that profound section of the Westminster Confession earlier tonight, is to be worshipped. Somehow, and we don't entirely know how, these Gentile magi, these wise men, perhaps through the influence of Daniel, Jeremiah, or some other exilic Jewish prophet, they came to know that the King of the Jews would also be the King of the whole universe. He would not only just be the King of the Jews, but the King of the world, the King of their own lives as well. Now, interesting, the star they beheld in the east had also been prophesied many centuries earlier by another Gentile, this time the not-so-wonderful Balaam, who in Numbers 24:17b said, "A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel." So a Gentile prophesies this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, ends up in the Bible. Gentile wise men come to the Jewish home of the Messiah, and they are a portent of the Gentiles coming into the grace of the gospel. Now, notice that the wise men who knew that this king had been born, this king of the Jews who had been born, who was worthy to be worshipped, did not come to Jerusalem to negotiate with him, to parley with him, to work out a deal with him, to placate him. No, they came to worship him, the newborn king, and so it should be with us as well, even this evening, especially tomorrow on the Lord's Day. So, how do we locate the baby king? First, by faith. Now verses 3 through 5, we find the baby king through Scripture. It's impossible to know of Christ's person and work apart from the Holy Book. And it's not possible to overestimate the importance of the Bible. We find the baby king through Scripture, verses 3 and 4. God's Word is universal in its application, where we read, "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born." Notice that everybody is represented in this picture. The Gentiles, the wise men representing them, the wicked Herod, who was a Jew but quite corrupt, the scribes, who weren't so great. All of them are affected by and included in the Holy Scripture. In fact, everybody in the world is affected by and included in the Bible, whether they realize it or not, because it incorporates all men under sin and also declares that Jesus came to redeem his people from all nations, elect people from all people groups, parts of the world. And on Bethlehem's plain, the words are, "For all men this good news has come. So all people are to hear about Jesus and to rest their souls in him. Now, in order to do that, we need to look to the Bible for answers. The wicked Herod and the unbelieving priests, if they were to answer this question, where would he be born? They'd have to open those scrolls. In those days, those old scrolls, and there weren't that many of them, and they were very precious. And let us do that as well. The scripture speaks to all of us, not just believers, but all people. And what this means from a practical point of view is that we see everyone from the perspective, not of the world, but from the Word of God as to what it says about people. Now, before we leave verses 3 and 4 for a moment, don't miss the reaction of Herod and the people. They were troubled. Why would this Herod, this pretty strong and powerful guy, be troubled, this old guy, about a little baby who would be born? Because somehow he knew that baby king would rule over him. And as you know, other stories from other parts of the New Testament, he tried to kill off all the babies born in Jerusalem or in Bethlehem in that time. Christ eluded that by grace, going into Egypt by his father, stepfather Joseph and Mary taking him there. Now the people also feared because they didn't want this God-man ruling over them either. So, God's word is universal in its application. Verse 5, God's word is accurate in its detail. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Now the chief priests and scribes opened the Bible, those scrolls of the Old Testament, and found the answer to Herod's question. Herod does the right thing, calls those guys in. They're smart guys, supposed to know, and says, hey, where is this Christ child supposed to be born? They open up Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and they find the answer. Now, the infallible accuracy of the sacred scripture, as we see it here, ought to be a great encouragement to us. The Bible is 100% true, accurate, infallible, and inerrant in everything. And it's not to be doubted, but to trusted because of the God who gave it to us. Now, here, they know specifically that the king was to be born in Bethlehem, because 700 years before, a prophet, a minor prophet, Micah, had prophesied such, that he'd be born there. Now, if the skeptical scribes in Jerusalem could believe the prophetic scripture back then, how much more should we who live on this side of all these wonderful events, all the central events of history, looking back on the cross, how much more should we live in and marvel at and believe in the fulfillments realized in Christ's first advent? We find the baby king by faith. We find the baby king through scripture, verse 6. We find the baby king in history. Faith and scripture meet in the actual events of redemptive history. Christianity is a historic religion. In other words, yes, it is all supernatural and wonderful and amazing and takes absolute grace, must be of God. And yet, all these things actually happened in history. They're actually true. Christianity is objectively true. It can be put up against any other religion, and that other religion will be proven false in comparison. The events that are chronicled in the Word of God did take place. What we read about and think about at Christmas time actually happened. That Christ died on the cross actually occurred. That he rose from the dead and is not in the ground is an actual fact. That he has risen to the Father's right hand, poured out the Spirit on the church, and reigns there forever at the Father's right hand is true history. And this, my dear, is something we must appreciate. It's not just faith, and it's not just scripture. It's fact, the person of Jesus, time and space, bringing us eternal benefits. So we find the baby king in history, verse 6a. There's a place to which he came, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. So they've opened up Micah 5, and they read that verse, say, here it is, Herod, here's the verse right here. It's mind-boggling to consider that Jesus Christ came to a particular place, an actual town. Instead of sort of cosmically appearing everywhere simultaneously all around the globe, as it were, he comes to one simple, small, and otherwise rather insignificant Judean village. Why did he do that? Why was he born in Bethlehem? Because that was the home of David, in whose line and for the fulfillment of whose promises Jesus would and did come. The Lord Jesus in the line of the shepherd king David would complete everything written about David. So when you read in the Bible about how David will reign forever, etc., that's all a reference to David's great son, Jesus, who indeed does reign as the on the throne of David forever and ever. We're going to read about that in a moment from Isaiah 9. There's a place to which he came, talking about history now. Now verse 6b, there's a throne to which he ascended. For out of you shall come a ruler, a king. Christ ascended to the throne of David, the ruler spoken of in Isaiah 9:7, which says, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom he will rule to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. A king was born that day in Bethlehem. He was born a king. He didn't have to become a king later. He didn't have to wait to be a king. He always was a king in Christ, but now he is the God-man. Man and God, one person, forever in the heart of the Trinity, exalting humankind there in the elect church. Now, there are many today, just as there were 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born, who don't want this king reigning over them, and they complain that there isn't peace on earth and goodwill toward men and that wars still take place and whatever, and they'd like to blame him or their faith, our faith. But the reality is, wherever this king reigns in the hearts of men and the church is established, those things occur, and there is peace, and there is joy, and there is hope, and there is gospel. We, his people, his church, are his subjects, the willing subjects, made that way by grace. And we alone recognize him now as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, but one day all men, all women will as well. There's a place to which he came. There's a throne to which he ascended. Verse 6c, finally. There is a church on whom he set his love, who will shepherd my people Israel. Christ came as the good shepherd. We know that, John chapter 6 and 10. He shepherds Israel, which consists of all the elect church from every nation, tongue, tribe on earth. Has Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, set his love upon us? Are we the objects of his grace and love? Do we today, tonight, love him because he first loved us? Are we among the happy and blessed ones who are being led and shepherded by the good shepherd? There are two phases to the gospel in history, and this is very important. The first is objective fact that occurred back then. Jesus Christ did come, live a sinless life, and atone for us on the cross with his death, and rise from the dead. He is alive. But there's a second phase, and that's what happens inside each person who hears this gospel and then by grace believes it. It says, yes, that's true. I am a sinner. I am saved by grace, by faith, not by works. And that is the appropriation of these benefits in time through God-given grace and faith in Jesus' blood atonement and glorious resurrection. Have we, like the wise men, bowed the knee to the baby king? There's many would say today that God can't be found. God can be found. God will be found by anyone who wants to find him. And these wise men wanted to find him. They weren't perfect, but they were sincere. And they were serious. Are we sincere and serious? Do we want to locate the baby king? If so, he's found by faith, through Scripture, and in history. Let us pray with thanksgiving tonight. Father, we thank you for the baby king, that he can be found, and that no man, no person has any excuse on that last day. No one can stand and say, I couldn't find him, it was too hard, too confusing. No, not true. any person that wants to find the baby king in the incarnation or the risen Savior after his glorification, indeed can. And we are grateful for that. We thank you that these magi were examples of that. Now, may we be like them, always seeking out the Christ and going to him and going into his temple to worship him every Sunday and being the people of God shepherded by the great King, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.